Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, and we're in chapter 10. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
How can he suffer in glorious power? Well, I got a story to tell you. He died and he bore our sin and our shame and our hell and our judgment, but he rose again. He ascended till his enemies shall be made his footstool. And when he comes and sets his foot on the earth again and sets up his kingdom, it's going to be a kingdom wherein abides and dwells righteousness, where we will be able to see King Jesus in real time, and he will rule with a rod of iron. And that means that everyone born during the millennial kingdom will be brought up in an environment more conducive to their success in spiritual things. But at the end of the 1,000 years, many of them will rebel and reject him that has been seen to be all that he said he was. Because he's not veiled. He's not a mystery anymore. He's real. He's literal. He's physical. And he will put down that last rebellion, and then we have the new heaven and the new earth that will be created in a moment. He didn't have to take 6 days. He did it in 6 literal days to show us that he could. And it set in motion a paradigm and a pattern by which he could be remembered. On 6 days, he created the heavens and the earth. And he did things out of order to what you would have done it if you'd have written it out of a man's mind. You know, certain things, sun, moon, stars, things were made after, you know, vegetation. Just read it. Think about it. Pretty amazing stuff. God doesn't do things for nothing. There's always purpose. Bible says that this is what the servants looked at. Verse 8 says, "And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth." Now, I tell you what, if I was John, I'd be a little overwhelmed right now. God in heaven has just told me to go to God on earth and tell him, give me the book. I don't tell him anything. So, the disposition of John here comes kind of powerfully to my mind as this. Let me show you what I see. And the Bible says in verse 9, "And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the book." Now, that freaks me out because I can't imagine myself telling him to do anything. But if you know the Greek, it kind of helps us because it's an imperative. It could be translated this way: "You must give me the book." I can see him apologetically saying, you got to give me the book. Because you know, I'm not going to go up and tell God anything. You know, give me the book. No, it's "you must give me the book." Do you know what that tells me? That tells me that he that has a promise can be lion-hearted. You can go to God with a promise and say, "God, you said it, I believe it, and I'm claiming it here." Now, just get this down now. I'm not talking about the nonsense of name it, claim it. I'm talking God's promises in real time for real necessities. People get messed up, they get one promise taken out of context, and they say, "That's my promise." It's not your promise sometimes. Sometimes it's somebody else's promise. Rightly divide the word of truth. If you have a promise from God, you take God's promise to him and you pray on that. Okay? You tell God, "This is what you said, and I'm believing you. Help me to have faith that whatever you have in mind here will be executed." And you will find that you will have the lion-hearted belief and faith God wants you to have. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. That's what you have underneath you. It's the underpinning of everything you believe. Your hope is based on your faith. That's the substance. That's what upholds us. But it's the evidence of things that the people can't see out there. They look at your life, and if you have that kind of lion-hearted, bold-faced faith that God wants us to have, by it, the elders obtained a good report, and by it, you and I will obtain a good report. That's how faith works. It's not about this ethereal, everybody's going to be healthy and wealthy and wise and have everything they want. That's Old Testament baby stuff in the nursery. That's what Israel got, because that's what they needed. You and I, we don't get the blessing that they had. The blessing of the Old Testament was prosperity. The blessing of the New Testament is adversity. God has allowed you and me not only to believe on Christ, but also to suffer for his name's sake. We haven't been called to do much of that in America. But some countries today are doing it more than they've ever done before across the world. This world is under siege spiritually. They just burnt down in China a $2.5 million facility of a megachurch in their nation. They burnt it down because they hate what was represented there. They're against Christianity. That's the kind of persecution. 2 weeks ago, I read an article where one of the nations in Africa, the police were actually shooting the Christians in a gathering.
It wasn't others and the police not doing anything, which is oftentimes the occasion. This was the police actually shooting the believers as they gathered. In America, they're coming against us time and time again. You've got bakers and you've got photographers and you've got people who are, you know, flower people. They're called florists, I know that. The florists, they're all being persecuted because they love Jesus and they're saying, I don't want to be part of a gay wedding. It's not because they're against gay people. It's because they're against the establishment of marriage being confused and they're being asked to participate in an occasion that is not in keeping with their faith and belief that God created everything. He established, first of all, the earth. That's the first thing He established. Then He established the man and the woman, the home. And after that, He established the human government. So human government's got to take a back seat to you and yours and my consciences in these days. And maybe some of us might have to pay the price because of it. But that's what's coming. Stay tuned. The Bible says that He went to the angel in verse 9. He says, give me the little book. And He said unto me, take it and eat it up. So see, now He's echoing what the Father said. Father said, go get the book. And He's saying, take it and eat it up. He says, it shall make your belly bitter, but it'll be sweet in your mouth as honey. You know what that's like? That's like some of the best news ever. Jesus is coming, but the worst news ever. Is it the loved ones you and I see every day who maybe don't know Jesus are going to suffer in eternity in hell if they don't get saved? And some of them have heard all their lives and they've turned dark. Like I said at the outset, H.E. Ironsides, quote, light received brings greater light, but light rejected brings forever night. People who are cast into outer darkness, pain and gnashing of teeth, people we care about and love, but Jesus is so good. He's the angel of the Lord, and His unfolding of the plan is perfect. Why can't they see? We see and we rejoice. They see and they dismiss. Beloved, I'm telling you, this is a real story, a real unfolding, a real narrative that we have the vast majority of the story already unfolded, and we get to stand at the end of it, and we know who wins. And what's really cool is that you and I may not have to die. Isn't that the coolest thing? You know, that will make us a unique generation. And I believe the rapture with all of my heart because extreme times demand extreme measures. And God has illustrated the rapture throughout history. He raptured out Enoch. Enoch walked with God. He was not. Often said, I want to be a was not. I want to be a was not. We see it in Noah's day. God took him into the ark. Let him sit there for 7 days. Then the rain came. Boom. And everybody was destroyed. He came out on the other side. We see Lot being pulled out of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah before the destruction. God's going to pull out His people before the destruction of the earth and the retooling of the earth. And then there will be people to be saved, but they're going to get battered and beaten and they're going to be bruised and burnt. But they're going to be okay. At the end of chapter 7, you can see it in Revelation. They're going to be burnt and thirsty and hungry and everything. And then subsequently, they will be with Him throughout eternity. The Bible says they'll follow Him wherever they go. The Bible says He took the little book, verse 10, out of the angel's hand. He ate it up. It was in my mouth, sweet as honey. As soon as I'd eaten it, my belly was bitter. Why? Because there was implications to the truth He had received. You know, we can view the book of Revelation. We can revel in its truth. But if we do not allow it to get into our lives and make us a different people, then we may be deceiving ourselves to some degree as to the depth of our real devotion. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3 that he that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. You know, a lot of times people want information for information's sake. They want information so they can be the smartest guy in the room maybe. But they don't want to live for Jesus. Do you know in the New Testament people didn't even think about being saved and not living for Jesus? They knew. If you go to Muslim worlds where people are being born again, they know when they get saved that it could cost them their lives. Some people say, you know, well, I would die for Jesus, but will we live for Him? He knew that he was supposed to live this thing out. And it bitter in his belly, he thought of all the people that would perish. He thought of all the things that could unfold and how it should change the gait of a man that knows this. This should change the way we stand, the way we compose ourselves, the way we address ourselves to other people. We need to be a loving people. By this shall all men know that we're His disciples. But when we have love one for another, and even loving the lost. How can you say that you love God and you don't see Him not love the man you see next to you? Why? Because God loves that person. And we need to love Him for His sake, right? We are loved in the Beloved, and we need to love them because God is not willing that any should perish. But what we do is we become so overwhelmed with knowledge. And the Bible says knowledge puffs up, but love edifies, builds up. And so I want to say to you, when he saw this, it made his heart sing. But at the other moment, it sank. Because there's people who will literally go to hell forever. You see, the message of the cross is the message of redemption. God loved the world so much, he gave his only Son. That's what he does. And he does it that he might take those that come to his Son and turn us into ambassadors and epistles, seen and read of men. You are ambassadors of God. You're on foreign soil. You are epistles, many letters, Paul's epistles. You know, he wrote like, we're the letter God is messaging to the world. And if our translation isn't as it should be, then people won't understand who Christ is. And there's a lot of people out there that are pseudo-epigraphical. I just wanted to use that word. Pseudo-epigraphical people. They're false epistles. There was a lot of pseudo-epigraphical stuff going around in the New Testament. People trying to litter the world with a lot of bad things. You know, the Vessel of Barnabas, different ones. But this, God wants us to be epistles seen and read of men. The true Christian. The Bible says that the angel said unto him in verse 11, you must prophesy before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. And the word before, underline it and put in your margin, it's the Greek word epi. It means upon. It means upon, not before. It's an unfortunate translation to say it's before, because what it is it's epi. You are going to prophesy upon many nations and people. Why? Because the rest of this book is going to be about the culmination of the times of the Gentiles. Nations are going to fall. The European Union will fall. The old revived Roman Empire will fall. Ecclesiastical empires will fall. False religious systems will fall. And King Jesus will come and make it all right. Now that would be scary for anyone. And so maybe that's part of what made his stomach bitter too. You mean I got to say out loud what's in chapter 17 of the book of Revelation about Romanism? About Babylonianism? You're going to have to stay tuned for that one. I'm going to have to say that, you know, certain people's behavior is bad, yeah. I'm going to have to say some things about certain choices made by our government is wrong, yeah. You're going to have to say that. You see, when we take our stand with God, we have to remember what the apostles confronted out of the gate. Shall we obey God or men? You choose. And every day, we have a world that tries to squeeze it through peer pressure into its mold. And if we don't dance their dance, they don't like us. Every day, if we do not accept behaviors that are now trying to be celebrated, you and I could be the odd man out. We're seeing it on larger levels in the military. There are certain military leaders who said, I'm not going to do thus and so, and they've been booted or lost their tenure and lost their retirements. We've got judges who've been shown the door because they wouldn't solemnize that which was unconscionable. If you don't do that, you need to step down. So the best among our judges were shown the door. The things are going dark, and it won't be long before it comes to us. Sweet in my mouth, the Lord is coming. Bitter in my belly that I stand at the cusp of that time and I might have to pay with my blood or with my freedom or with the lives of my own family, which would be harder even still, wouldn't it? You and I have to remind ourselves that these things are not just neat things to know. They're vital things to access, absorb, and personalize so that we will have what John had. We will have a lion-hearted spirit that will say, I know who you are. But you must give me the book. In all humility, you've got to go to God sometimes and say, God, I'm claiming your promise for strength. Because God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. But only if we're engaged. Let's engage. Would you bow with me for a moment? Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30. And we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person
as we go to the Word.